Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead and jump into this lesson. I don't have any announcements for today.
besides it being hot. No new announcements, but we pray that you have been taking notes. I don't remember if I gave any homework last week or not. Days are running together for me now, and I still need to be looking at my site for testing, because I do want to give tests. I still want to do that. I haven't forgotten. It's just that every day I wake up, it seems like something new comes up, and I get caught up in, you know, what do they call it? When I was at Amazon, they called it being randomized. You get up with a specific plan, and randomly something happens, and now you're off in that direction, and then you're off in that direction. I have been working on AC units and trying to fortify a wall in the grow room, because the material that the wall is made out of, it's kind of sturdy, but not as sturdy as I would want it to be. It's kind of like a polyurethane and an inside foam. The material on the outside is pretty tough, but then once I drill into it, you know, it may weaken it. So I am putting up some steel, not really steel plate, but galvanized steel, I guess it is steel, reinforcement on the outside that I will be mounting stuff to. And then with, you know, figuring out the drill holes, because they got to match on both sides, and it's easier to drill them before they're up than to drill them afterwards. But, you know, you have to make sure everything matches, so that is what I've been working on. And once the sun hit that side of the house, and that was a wrap, wasn't, you know, not dealing with the direct sunlight. We want to welcome all our listeners in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America, South America, the continent of Africa, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and pray that, you know, you're getting something out of this ministry, out of these lessons, and that you continue to tune in and to, you know, take advantage of one of the ways that we have to connect. If you are online and you can't dial in, then you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/YGKM, and you can listen live. You can't, you know, react. You can't ask questions that way, but you can listen live. Or you can call into our conference direct number, 480-392-9901, or you can call in directly to Blog Talk Radio, which is 263-727-5514. Or you can register on our meetings.glorytoyah.com website and come into Yah's Global Kingdom, Yah's Global Classroom, and participate that way. So we have made just about every way possible that you can either hear the lesson or participate available to you. All right, let's go ahead and continue with our statement of faith. I want to say good evening to everyone that is on, you know, in the classroom, or if you're online, we say good evening to you. We have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your head, and let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men are inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. There is no name like your name. No other name under heaven whereby man must be saved, Father. And we just glorify you on today, Father. And we lift you up too. We magnify your name. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you for keeping us safe during the night. Thank you for letting us arise and giving us another day that we might worship and glorify you, O Yah. For truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory, glory.
Glory, glory.
Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim.
Our Father.
Our Father. And let me do this real quick. Real quick. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our verse for this evening is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Yah must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May the Most High bless him to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his work. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, on last week, I actually was trying to go back and listen to where we actually stopped at. And we're going to start with question 31. In lesson one, question number 31, I'm going to read the question and we're going to get into this. You know, again, this is the milk of the word. And everyone should be, you know, we should graduate eventually from the milk into those stronger things of the word. But it is imperative that everybody understand the things that the milk says. You have babes on milk, and everything that that babes in Most High, in Messiah, what they should know, starting off. So these are things that every Christian should know, every saint should know, and our faith should grow from this. Our understanding should grow from these topics that we are discussing, so that, you know, we are grounded, that we are grounded in the Word of the Most High. So, question number 31. Faith and repentance involve the whole person, the intellectual element, the emotional element, and the volitional element. Your volition is your will, your willpower. When we say heart, this is really what we're talking about, your willpower, the things that, what you will and will not do. You know, we might have it in our mind to do something, but don't have the heart or the willpower to do it. That's your volition. Okay. In response to Yah's grace, faith in particular means acceptance of the truth about Mashiach as Yah and our Savior, along with the belief that in him every need is satisfied. Faith means complete submission to his will. Repentance means a change of mind and is the only logical result of faith in Mashiach or in Christ. So, your faith should tell you that you are a sinner and that your belief should be that Christ, Messiah, died for your sins and that you need to submit yourself You need to be in complete submission to him. Repentance, on the other hand, means a change of mind. And if we understand that we are sinners, then repentance is what? Is the only logical result. Should be the only logical result of your faith, of your belief. I am a sinner and I need to repent. I need to change my ways. Okay? So, how then can we have faith in Messiah or in Christ? And we're going to say in Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. My bad. The book of Romans, chapter 10. The book of Romans, chapter 10. We're going to get verses 8 through 11. Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Yeshua HaMashiach, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yah has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So we can say that we know Messiah, but then to say that we know him, if we know him, then we have to know what he requires. He says, how do you say that you know me or love me and keep not my commandments? Your faith should bring you into the understanding that you have to repent. Your faith should bring you into the understanding that if you're repenting of the sin that you don't know, stop that. If you're repenting of the sin that you know, then you should also, when you learn sins that you did, things that you didn't know were a sin, that you also repent of them if you're doing them. So when you learn about things that you're doing that you didn't know were sin, then you would also repent of them. Okay. Now, unto, because it says that confession is made unto salvation and belief unto righteousness. Unto is not the same as into, and we use them that way, but they're not really the same in the scripture. If I say I came unto your house, that means I could have drove up to your house, stopped in front, had a conversation with you, and never entered into your house. Does that make sense to anyone, what I just said? I came unto your house. But I didn't come into your house. So you have people that do that all the time. Somebody comes and rings the doorbell. We don't let everyone in. They came unto our house. But they didn't come into. And so we must learn that confession or belief brings you unto righteousness. But simply believing doesn't bring you into righteousness. How do you get into righteousness? By doing. By being not only a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. So faith brings you unto, belief brings you unto. And there's a difference. You can come unto something, but you must enter into it. You enter into it by taking an action. So if I bring you to the doorsteps of righteousness, but you still don't do what's right, well, you came to the doorstep. All you had to do was to what? Do right? To enter into righteousness? But if you chose to continue in wickedness or evilness, then you chose not to enter into righteousness. Okay. And then confession is made unto salvation when they are ignorant. Okay. So we can confess them, but then we got to also, what, repent of them. We got to turn away from our sin. Because that's what we're confessing. Now we can confess our righteousness. We can confess that we do right, whatever. But the truth of the matter is salvation is dealing with getting us out of sin. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Okay, so when we realize that we are sinners, and what Messiah died for, what Christ died for, then we are not ashamed of his gospel. We're not ashamed of him. Because we realize that, hey, without him, we are in bad shape. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. Drop down to verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, what are you hearing? By the word of Yah. You got to hear. You can't believe on somebody. You could never believe on Messiah if you never heard of Messiah. You could never believe on salvation if you never heard Yah's plan of salvation. That is the word of Yah. So hearing his word and doing his word, but also having his word properly taught to you, and you consuming it, eating it, and keeping it, not regurgitating it, but keeping it inside. Because when we regurgitate something, we're rejecting it. Okay. Now you want to be able to repeat the word of Yah, because you want to have a good witness, and you want to be able to have a good testimony and tell people about the word of the Most High, about this gospel. Okay. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. What happens when we repent and confess our sins? And that word repent is not just to say I'm sorry. That word repent is to acknowledge and die to and turn away from. Let me say that again. That word repent means to acknowledge that you have sinned, to turn away from it, and die to it. I know that this is sin, so I'm no longer going to do that anymore. And confess, yeah, that was me. I did that. Because Most High requires that we confess, that we acknowledge. We die to it. Turn away from it. Okay. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, this verse is used very loosely in the Orthodox and every day we're going to say the moderate churches, but even in, I'm going to say in most churches, this verse is used as no matter what the sin is, no matter how many times you do it, whether you're doing it, do it knowingly or ignorantly, all you got to do is confess it, and he is true and just to forgive you. But that is not his word. So this has to be taken, this verse has to be taken, you know, precept upon precept. We might read that at first and say, oh, he died for all my sins, and all I got to do is keep confessing, and he will forgive me. And then we keep reading, we understand that, oh, well, wait a minute. No, that's not quite true. So having a better understanding and not cherry picking the verse. So to Acts chapter 9. Chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 1 through 20. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. And he saw yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of Yah, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, anybody that was preaching Messiah, anybody that's saying, you know, that speaking and teaching the resurrection of Messiah, teaching that, you know, the kingdom has come or that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou? And he would have said, he wouldn't have known his name. Who art thou, master? And Yeshua said, I am Yeshua, whom thou persecutest. If it is trembling, and astonished, said, Master, what wilt thou have me to do? And Yahushua said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said Yahushua, in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, here am I. Here am I, Lord, or here am I, Master. And Yahushua said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive sight. Then Ananias answered Yahushua, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. But Yahushua said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul is sitting here, his name is Saul at first, and he is persecuting the saints of the church, and he is thinking that he's doing a good, okay? And he had to confess to Messiah. Well, we'll read this later. But he is met on the road to Damascus. He is knocked off his horse or camel, whatever he was riding. He is blinded and told to go and to wait, and somebody will come and give him his sight. And Ananias is like, Messiah, do you know who this man is? As if he don't know. He has everybody persecuted that calls upon your name. And Messiah said, I have chosen him as my vessel to go not only to the Gentiles and to kings, but also to the Israelites. Okay? Let's continue. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, Yah, even Yeshua HaMashiach, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Saul was, he was zealous. He thought he was doing good work. When he was persecuting, he thought these people were, what, heretics. And I'm going to be protecting the word of the Most High. I'm going to be protecting the kingdom. I'm going to be protecting, Israel. And these people are committing heresies and what have you. He's thinking he's doing a good work. But one of the things that why I stopped reading the commentary of, the rabbis, because I realized was the rabbis of old, they were never required to be filled with the Spirit of the Most High. He didn't even give it to the priesthood. So these rabbis are interpreting the scriptures from their own carnal mind. And Saul is one of those. And he's attacking the church, the body of Messiah, because of his understanding of the law, but he really didn't have a spiritual understanding of the law. And so he didn't have an understanding of salvation. He didn't have an understanding of repentance, not the way that the Most High wanted to invoke it in the New Testament. And so these are, as far as he's concerned, all the new saints are heretics. They are blasphemers, and he's bringing them bound or beaten or killing them. And so Messiah said, you know, he's a chosen vessel. Now, one of the things I will say about Saul, and we'll move on, is that Saul was a lawyer. And Messiah chose him because he needed a lawyer. What do I mean by that? He needed somebody that understood the law, so that when the changes that he was making to the law, they would understand it from the standpoint of the law as a lawyer. They would understand the legalese of it. The fisherman, you know, the tent maker, the publican, the tax collector, they wouldn't understand the law like a lawyer. And so that's why Saul is chosen. He's a lawyer, and he's going to do, you know, these changes that are being brought about. They're being brought about in such a way, in a legalistic manner. The new covenant has to be, it has to be explained from the standpoint of the law and the differences in it. And this is the reason that Paul is required. The preaching of the gospel, all of the apostles could do that. But when it comes to making a change to a contract, to the law, then the Most High says, you know, I need to get a lawyer. I need to get somebody that's well studied in the law. And we know that Paul was well studied in the law. So when the Most High was making changes, then Paul was able to articulate those changes in a manner that if you are well studied, then the things that Paul says, and when you read the stories, then you're able to pick up on the little nuances and the changes. Peter said, Paul, let's get this first, saying that there's a difference here. Let me find this verse. Go to 2 Peter. Put your finger here. We'll come back to this. I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And understand that this is written by Peter. And let's go down to verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're just going to read what Peter said concerning what Paul has said. As also in all his speaking in them of these things, in which are some things that are hard to be what? Understood. Which they are, that are unlearned and unstable, rest, or they wrestle, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So Peter says Paul is writing some things that are, what, hard to be understood by the layperson. There were some things that were hard for Peter to understand. Okay? And Peter, you know, Paul had to rebuke Peter a couple of times, or at least once, because of things that he was doing in regards to the gospel. Okay? And so Peter was a fisherman. And the changes that were, you know, coming about in the law, when it came down to writing about them, even doing them, Peter had problems. Even though the Most High sent Peter to the Gentiles, to Cornelius first, Peter started off in that gospel, and then he actually really failed. When it came down to put up or shut up, Peter shut up. When he was eating with the Gentiles, when he was socializing with them, when he was, you know, at their homes, when some others came from Jerusalem, he withdrew himself. You know, I don't run with those people. So we got to understand that some changes that were being brought about, even they were hard for the laity to understand. And if you don't make your mind legal, if you don't really make your mind legalistic in the fact that you understand the law, and you can understand the changes made to the law in the New Testament, not the putting away of the law. That's why when people don't really read the Old Testament and study the law in the Old Testament, and they come into the New, they can't really understand everything that Paul's really saying. Bits and pieces of it, and what they're able to class or grasp, they do, but for the most part, they will read his writings and think that, oh, the law was done away with. And that's not what Paul has ever said, okay? But right now what we're reading is he was attacking the saints, and the Most High blinded him and so that he can get his attention. And he said, now I'm going to send somebody here to unblind you and that you might receive the Holy Spirit, but didn't have the Holy Spirit. He's doing all this stuff from a carnal position. I went through all that to say that. He's doing everything that he's doing from the carnal position, from a carnal mind. And we find this over and over, even in the churches, even in those that are only New Testament readers. They still come at the scriptures from a carnal mind. Okay. Because the scriptures tell us that you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not going to tell you to disobey the laws of the Most High. The Holy Spirit is not going to tell you that the laws of the Most High have been done away with. You'll read those verses, and then he will keep leading you into the full understanding that I'm free from those judgments that I was once charged with those charges and judgments that I was once charged with, and I now have a clean slate unless I sin again. When I sin again, those charges come back on me. And depending upon how I sinned, whether it was willful or ignorantly, I may or may not even be able to get a court date. I might just have to plead for mercy and pray when I come before the bench, the final judgment, that Messiah don't impute my sins against me. So this is something very serious. But you must be that you might receive thy sight. Let's go back to we are reading in Acts chapter 9. And we're probably somewhere right around verse 18 or 19, somewhere near 17, 18, or 19. I don't have these numbered. But if you get down to 17, 18, or 19, you see you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's where we're at. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received me, he was strengthened. Then Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway, then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue. That he is the Son of Yah. So when we read all that, our question was, what happens when you repent and confess our sins? Then when we do that, we're supposed to be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost. That's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to repent, acknowledge our sins, and receive the Holy Ghost. This is not always in the book of Acts, we learned that that process is not always an exact procedure. You might receive the Holy Spirit first and then have to go get baptized. We see that example in the scriptures. You might receive the gospel first and then believe and then have to receive the Holy Spirit. You might hear the gospel, get baptized, and don't receive the Holy Spirit. And then if you don't receive the Holy Spirit, then you need to go and tarry. Wait. Go before the Most High in prayer. Petition him. Find out what it is that you are not doing or you need to do in order for him to give you his Spirit. As I said, for me, in my case, it was a matter of really committing to the Most High and letting go of those things in the world and wanting him holy. What I mean by holy, I mean not in the sense of H-O-L-Y, but H-W-H-O-O-L-Y, holy as in his entirety. So, yeah, I know that you can be baptized, and receiving of the Holy Spirit is not an automatic thing. Okay, it's not an automatic event. Your heart must be right for that to happen, and he has to choose. So when we repent, a result of that, then we should get baptized if we have not been baptized. And we should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those are titles. That's why he says, neither is there any other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Got to use the name. So I pray if you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach, if you got baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you go back and be rebaptized. What did Yeshua say about being baptized in the gospel? What did he say about it? Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. The book of Matthew chapter 28. And let's get verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You have to find out what that name is. And because they are all the same being, there's only one name. So this is, you know, what I ask people in the churches who are using this formula, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says to baptize in the name of the Father. I said, what name do you have for the Father? Because Father is not a name. Father is a title. And of the Son, Son is not a name. Son is a title or a pronoun. And then of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a name. It is actually a title as well. And so, this is baptized in the name. But when you read that, you should be looking for, well, what name do I use? Well, there's only one name that you will ever find the disciples baptizing in. In the English, the name of Jesus. In the Hebrew, Yahushua. The name. It never said, I baptize you, and you won't find it in the scriptures anywhere. You won't find a verse saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that we would have an example. Either, you have to ask yourself this, either his disciples were being disobedient, or they were truly ignorant, because they never baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everywhere where you see them baptized, they say they baptized in the name of the Lord or in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus. So you must be baptized in his name. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Messiah never taught his disciples that the law was being done away with. He never taught them that. You won't find that anywhere in his teaching. Messiah never taught them not to obey Sabbath, not to keep Sabbath. Now remember, Messiah didn't come to the Gentiles. So he's dealing with Israel. Israel is not going to teach or shouldn't be teaching the Gentiles not to obey the law. But Israel was told specifically what to teach the Gentile nation. So at this point, I want to go a little bit off course to the book of Acts, chapter 15. The book of Acts, chapter 15, and when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, my sister. Amen. Thank you, all of you. All right. The book of Acts, chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 1. Standing into your teaching of the Gentile nations and of your Hebrew brothers and sisters, what is required for you to tell the Gentile nations, and then what you should be pointing them to. Okay? What you should be pointing them to. So it says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. Now these certain men, you're going to be told that these are Pharisees, okay? These are Pharisees that are of the temple that got converted. But they still up under the understanding that they're still teaching the law of Moses. And we're going to read this, and I want us to break this down so that we have a clear understanding of what's being talked about in these verses. Because anytime somebody says the law of Moses, then the first thing they want to take, you know, they want to say the entire law. But this is talking about the law of Moses as it relates to circumcision. As it relates to circumcision. Okay? So let's read this. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So any good student should stop right there and say, okay, what is the manner of circumcision? What is circumcision after the manner of Moses? And under the manner of Moses, or up under the law of Moses, then a male child was to be circumcised after 8 days. That was also up under, you know, in the law, but it, the Most High is quantifying it because he gave this to Abraham first. Circumcision was not given to Moses first. It was given to Abraham. And the law of who had to be circumcised was given to Abraham. And up under the Abrahamic law or Abrahamic covenant, anybody that was going to be a part of Israel, part of Abraham's seed, that means that there's many nations other than Israel that should be practicing circumcision. So let me see if I can get this real quick. We'll come back here because you should stop right there. After the manner of Moses. If you don't find out about circumcision after the manner of Moses, find out where Moses got it from, what is Moses, you know, continuing in, then you cannot understand what's going on in this chapter and with the Gentiles, okay? So we're going to read a couple of verses, so hold on, let me find these. So we're not going to do a deep study of circumcision at this point, but I'm going to show you some key verses that you really should be aware of and have an understanding in to understand what's going on here in Acts with the Gentiles. Give me a hot second. I'm ad-libbing right now, so just hold on a second. Thing. Genesis chapter 17. And write these down and add them to your study. So we're going to start in verse 7. Now you can start in verse 1, but we're going to start in verse 7 for time's sake. We're going to read a couple of verses because this is where circumcision first comes in. And then we're going to go and look at what Moses did, what the Most High told Moses concerning this. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 7. And when you have it, you'll say amen.
Amen.
Hey, all right. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. And I will establish my covenant. Now, here's a covenant between me and thee, talking to Abraham, and thy seed after thee in their generation, for an everlasting covenant to be Elohim unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So I'm going to make a covenant with you and your seed, all your generations. And remember, he promised Abraham to make him a father of what? Many nations? So this applies more to than just Israel, okay? And more than just Israel would have this this covenant and this law. Okay. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land. Now, this covenant has to do with the Most High being the God, the Elohim, seed of Abraham, and the land. The covenant really has to do with the land. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. I will be, and I will be their Elohim. So this is what this covenant is about. I'm going to give you this land, and I'm going to be your Elohim, and you're going to be my people to all your seed, Abraham. And Elohim said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. So this, every generation had to do this. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Circumcise every man child among you, and they shall be part of the covenant. They shall get an inheritance in the land, and I will be their God, their Elohim. Okay? From generation to generation. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt or between me and you. So that is the covenant. Verse 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation, born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. So you buy a slave, a servant, and he's a male, you have to circumcise. Because the property of your slave was your property. And the slave ate at the same table or was supposed to. They didn't treat slaves in these days or servants in these days like we got treated in slavery in the diaspora. It was a different type of slavery. Even though the master still had the power of life and death over that slave, it was a different type of slavery. Okay, it wasn't the utter degrading and demeaning type of slavery that we were put through as a people. Okay, Abraham bought a servant. They became his slaves. They were his property. He bought them. And whether he gave them, you know, X amount of years to work off their debt to him, and then he would give them their freedom if they were a man, or if it was a woman, she was never let go. She was never given her freedom. Or bought with money of a stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Verse 14, and the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. We know that this word cut off did not mean that you're going to kick him out of the camp and send him away. It meant that they were to be killed. Cut off was to be killed. from his people. He has broken my covenant. So this is the way that you get became part of the covenant. You were either born into Abraham's household, or you were bought as a possession. And any of the servants, if they had children, their children belonged to Abraham. So understand this. They were males. At 8 days old, they had to be circumcised. Now, this is where it came from. And it has to do with the land and the Most High being the God of, or the Elohim of, the people. Okay? Now, let's go to Moses. We're not going to look at everybody that Abraham circumcised. We're going to now jump to Moses, because you now know why, we now know why Abraham is circumcised. Any males born in his house, any male servants that he bought, any males amongst his servants, because they belong to him, were circumcised. All the males. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Book of Exodus chapter 12. Now this has to do with Passover. Go down to verse 44. Well, it's actually start in verse 42. Exodus chapter 12, verse 42. We're going to start there. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 42. It is a night to be much observed unto Yah for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yah to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generation. And Yah said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. So that's why I said you can't just be inviting anybody to Passover. There are laws and requirements for Passover. Okay? No stranger. So you don't just invite somebody to Passover. Because this Passover is about a commitment to the Most High and a remembrance of a commitment to the Most High. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. So the strangers that were bought for money, just like under Abraham, if he bought a servant, then that servant could take part, would become part of the covenant. And they had to be circumcised. Here in the Passover, no stranger could eat of the Passover unless they had been bought with money. He's going to be talking about here. They were bought with money, and if they were a male, they were what? Circumcised. Then shall he eat. To take part, for a man to take part in the Passover itself specifically and not be circumcised is a sin. Even today, okay, a foreigner and a hired servant. So this servant here wasn't bought with money. This is hired. They're not your property. Shall not eat thereof. The servant that was bought with money, that became your property, the property of someone in Israel, then they had to be circumcised. But they were going to eat the Passover with everybody else. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall you break a bone thereof. Now, this circumcision is going back to the circumcision of Abraham. Okay, where it first started. That the Most High would be their Elohim, their God, and that they would be his people, And the male had to be circumcised to be part of the covenant. And if the male wasn't circumcised as part of the covenant, they were to be killed. Drop down to verse 48. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, now this is a stranger that is living amongst you, living amongst us, okay? They are not a servant. They are not property. They are visiting, and they want to stay. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover, they want to keep the Passover, let all his males be circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it. So if a stranger today wants to come and live among us and wants to keep the Passover, then if they're a male, then we got to tell them, hey, you got to be circumcised. And I'm not going to check. I'm going to tell them, hey, you got to be circumcised. And if they do that thing uncircumcised, that's not on me. That's on them, because they will have committed a grave sin. I just let them know this is how this works. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. This is the law of Moses, given to Moses. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as Yah commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Okay, let's see if I want to go anywhere else. Go to Leviticus chapter 12. Leviticus chapter 12. One. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. Leviticus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Amen. Thank you, my sister. Amen. Thank you. All right. I want to make sure we're all on the same page. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of separation for her infirmity, she shall be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin, the male child, shall be circumcised. Now, did he tell Abraham to circumcise his males on the 8th day? Told them to do it on the 8th day as well. Okay. And so this is not a change to anything. This is a reiteration. This is the law. A male child. Now, the reason that they circumcise a male child while the Most High picked the 8th day is that if you circumcise a male child without blood coagulants that they shoot children with today, when a male child is born today, and then, you know, it's been doing it for a minute now, to cause their blood to coagulate. Because if they circumcise that baby as soon as they come out like they do today, then what would happen is the baby would bleed to death. Because a male child's blood doesn't start to coagulate, and I don't believe a female does either, doesn't start to coagulate until the 8th day. Okay, so the Most High said on the 8th day to the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So this is not anything new. Okay. Now let's go back to let's go to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. that we see that this is nothing, that Genesis chapter 21 and verse 4, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Thank you. All right, amen. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as Elohim had commanded him. So the law of Moses was not anything new. It's coming from the Abrahamic covenant, except for under Abraham, the stranger couldn't join his family. The sojourner couldn't join his family. He had to be bought with money. Then they were added in. But under the law of Moses, the only difference is the stranger who sojourned, Israel, that wanted to join Israel, and they wanted to come and keep the feast days. They had agreed to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Then they could come, and they could join, but they had all their males had to be circumcised. Okay? Now let's go back to Acts, chapter 15. So are there any questions concerning circumcision under the law of Moses? And what it was for? Okay. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 15 so you have an understanding when we read this. Acts chapter 15. Now we know that up under the law of Abraham, the covenant of Abraham, the law of Moses, that babies born into Israel at the eighth day had to be circumcised. We know that if a stranger that sojourned amongst Israel wanted to come and join Israel and keep the Passover or any other feast day, they had to be circumcised. That's the only change up under the law of Moses. Okay. So all males had to be circumcised. They were bought with money as a servant, or if they were homeborn, they had to be circumcised. Now, if a stranger up under the law of Moses, then Gentiles would be considered strangers. Okay? Gentiles would be considered strangers. And this chapter is talking about not becoming a member of Israel. This is about becoming a citizen in the kingdom of the Most High. Not necessarily a citizen of Israel. And certain men which came down from Judea, verse 1, taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So they're saying, hey, you can't be saved as a Gentile if you have not been circumcised in your flesh. Okay? That's what is the argument. Now let's see what the scripture says about this. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought unto their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. Now, hadn't Messiah gone to Samaria, and didn't Philip go to Samaria and preach the gospel? So we know that the Samaritans were not, that the gospel was preached to, they were not Gentiles. It was the lost people of the house of Israel. They were Hebrews, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that Elohim had done with them. But there arose certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, because that's what the law required. So what the Pharisees are thinking, these people are joining what? Israel. But they're not. The Gentile has a choice. They can join Israel or not. Okay? And that's why it's important that we understand this. That it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, is he saying to keep all of the law of Moses? Talking about all of the law of Moses. He's talking about keeping the law of Moses in regards to circumcision. Okay? It's not saying that they don't have to keep all the law. So when people read this, because they're saying that, hey, when we finish reading this, you're going to find out that it's that they don't have to be circumcised. Then you might say, you come up here and you read these verses and command them to keep the law of Moses. This is only the part of the law of Moses as it pertains to circumcision, not all of the law of Moses. And I want us to get that and understand that. This is a very specific question. That it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Okay? And the apostles and the elder came together for to consider this matter. Didn't say these matters. Matter. This one matter. Do they need to be circumcised under the law of Moses? And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago Elohim made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And Elohim, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt you, Elohim, to put a yoke? This yoke is the circumcision upon the neck of the disciples. The disciples is not talking about the, it's talking about the new disciples, the Gentiles, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Now, why weren't our fathers nor the Gentiles or they not able to bear this thing with the circumcision? The circumcision was required to be done on the eighth day. So you live in Jerusalem, and I want to paint this picture for you so you can understand what he's saying. He's not saying that they couldn't keep the law of Moses, even though they, you know, they weren't doing a good job of keeping the law of Moses, but this is in regard to circumcision. So I want to paint this picture and put you in this frame of mind. You are a Jew. You are married, okay? And you are living in Rome. You are living in Spain. You are living in East Africa. You are living all around the Mediterranean. But you're not living in Israel, and you're not living in Jerusalem. Now, it was required that the male child be circumcised the eighth day. And so you would have to arrange to be at or near Jerusalem around that time to bring your child to the temple to be circumcised. Now, this trip, if you read the journeys of Paul or Peter or any of the disciples, the apostles, and you look at the time frames that it took, it could take months to go from Jerusalem to Rome. It could take months to make those travels. So you would have to gear the birth of the child around being able to get back to Jerusalem or close to Jerusalem where you, if it was a male child and you didn't know back in those days, they didn't know what the sex of the child was going to be like we know today. So you had to arrange to travel so that you were in and around Jerusalem, the temple, within an eight-day journey of when you were going to have your child. so that you could have them circumcised on the eighth day. Now, do you think that put a burden on them? It did. And it was hard for them to comply with it. The further away that they got, the harder this became. So think about it. Let's say it took you 2 months to go from wherever you were at to Jerusalem. And you had to do this because you didn't know whether you were having a male or a female child in these days. So you're pregnant. Do you think you're going to want to travel on a camel or a horse the last trimester, 3 months, the last month? It takes 2 months to get there. So when your wife was 6 months pregnant, you'd be leaving. Now, everybody didn't have the money to do this or need, nor the desire. Because if it was a girl, they traveled for nothing, more or less. We didn't have to come to Jerusalem. We didn't have to be that close because it's not a requirement to get our female circumcised. But if it's a male, then we got to be there. So they had to travel either way. So this was a burden upon the next of even the Hebrews. And they had a hard time keeping this. So Peter is asking, hey, why do you want to put this yoke upon the neck of the disciples, these new converts, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? We got people not doing this. Okay? But we believe through the grace, verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silent. So you got these Pharisees coming up making a ruckus. Hey, these Gentiles got to be circumcised. Peter said, whoa, 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 why are you putting a yoke on them that was hard for us even to bear? Okay. He says, but we believe that through grace of the Lord Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and to Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders Elohim had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken or listen unto me. Simon has declared how Elohim at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this will I return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after Yah, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith Yah, who does all these things. Known unto Elohim are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is, now James is the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and this James is Messiah's brother, James, okay? He's saying, this is my ruling on this. Wherefore, my sentence or my ruling is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to Elohim, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. So from pollution of idols, don't worship anything other than the Most High. From fornication, you know, don't be committing fornication and adultery. From things strangled, because it traumatizes an animal when you strangle them. It causes them to, you know, they're not dying a quick death. And so that does something to the meat. And from blood. It is a sin for us to what? Blood. Or fat, really. But he's saying, he just mentions the blood here. And Moses of old has in every city, and you need to underline this, For Moses of old hath in every city them that preach him. He's talking about preaching the laws of the Most High, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So the laws are taught in the synagogues every Sabbath, and it's, this is what is expected that the Gentiles, how they would learn. You don't just thrust somebody by, you know, through culture shock and say, hey, you believe in Messiah, now you got to start keeping all these laws that they never knew about. So when you're teaching the gospel to them, you got to stay with the scriptures. You got to teach them things that they abstain from pollution of idols, worship only the Most High Elohim. Stop sleeping around, not being married. Don't eat anything that has been strangled and from blood. Because they're eating things that are not kosher, that are not clean. But tell them to don't eat anything that is strangled. Okay? Now, this is what you tell a Gentile, not what you tell a Hebrew. This is concerning the Gentile nation. Okay? This is not all they have to do. This is to get into the kingdom. Because after they get into the kingdom, after they are baptized, they receive the Holy Spirit, then they're also supposed to be being taught the rest of the law. Okay? The rest of the law. So this is for them to enter into the kingdom of the Most High, not the nation of Israel. I want you to understand that. To get into the kingdom is not required. All right, let's keep going. Verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. Now the letters, they're going to send it to them in writing and by word of mouth. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and the elders and the brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia. For as much as we have heard that certain, we know these certain are Pharisees, which went out from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with your beloved Barnabas and Paul. And when we see this, keep the command and keep the law. This is a, it, even though we got an and here, this circumcision and the law is always concerning the laws of what? Circumcision. That's what the whole question is. It's not, do you have to keep the, all the laws of Moses? You're supposed to be learning the laws of Moses. So you got to put yourself in the understanding these people don't know the law. You want to get them into the kingdom. Salvation, then you have been told what's the minimum things that you should be teaching them. Don't put any other burden on them at that time because they need time to learn. They need time to learn. So as they learn the ways of the Most High and his laws, then they were to be accountable. If they didn't want to come close, if they didn't want to come up under the nation of Israel, the land, the covenant between Abraham and the children of Abraham for the land. And in the end days, when the Most High gathers us back to Israel, we're going to have Gentiles that want to come and be a part of the nation of Israel. Then they're going to have to comply with the law of Moses concerning circumcision. And if they want to keep the Passover, and they have to keep the laws of Moses concerning the Passover. So they have to be circumcised. If they want to become part of the nation of Israel and have an inheritance in the land, they have to be circumcised. If they want to stay in their own nation and they want to get and they want to come up under and they want to come up under their own nation and they want to get into the kingdom, they're not required to be circumcised. But as they learn and they want to come closer, then they'll learn that they must be circumcised for these other reasons, but not to enter into his kingdom. So they can be saved and not be circumcised. But as they learn, they start learning the dietary laws. They start learning the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Then they are to start doing those things, because those things have to do with sin. This is an ordinance. This is a statute. And he said, this statute, they don't have to do, not to enter into the kingdom. So we got to understand that. So don't put being circumcised as a requirement for not, for Gentiles to enter into the kingdom. Now, if they're Hebrew, yeah, they got to be circumcised. They don't want their inheritance as part of the land. But the truth of the matter is, by virtue of them being a Hebrew, and they never taught in the scriptures, that's why it specifically said the Gentiles. Didn't say all men. Didn't say mankind. It was very specific. The Gentiles. Don't put this burden on them for salvation. And as they learn, then they were to take these things on. So now they want to come to the Passover. See, they really should, if they're not worshiping any of the idols, then what should happen is that they should be learning about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they should be learning about his feast days. And say, oh, I want to celebrate the Passover. Well, this is the law of the Passover. So you want to come close and keep that? Yeah, I do. Then you must be circumcised. Got nothing to do with entering the kingdom of the Most High. So I pray we can understand it. Now, verse 25. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our master, Yeshua HaMashiach. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost, seemed good to the Most High, and to us that we lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. Well, fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. So now we got to go back to the original question. Go back to verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. This is what this whole conversation is about. Being saved and being having to be circumcised. Okay? Now, when he says, They have Moses being taught in the synagogue, the law of Moses. But you can't expect people to learn the law of Moses overnight. And so as they learn it, they are accountable. As they learn it, they are accountable. So when we go into go to Acts chapter 13. Because we're talking about salvation. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Thank you. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. So I want us to understand that who all are at the synagogue, okay? Let me see what verse I want to jump down to. Give me a hot second here. But first, I want to jump down to read verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that were called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord, or to Yah, and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So the church at Antioch had prophets and what, teachers? These are Jews. Now let's go down to verse 42. Taught them the gospel. He taught them about the resurrection of Christ. He has taught them about, you know, different things, and certain of these people can't accept it. So verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles at Antioch, the Gentiles were also attending what? The synagogue. The Gentiles besought that those words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes. What is a proselyte? That is a Gentile that has been converted. And these Gentiles that are attending the synagogue, they are converting to being up under the laws of the Most High. They are the strangers that are sojourning and want to come close. They are converting. That is a prosconvert, okay? And Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of Elohim. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Elohim. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Okay, now, so I want us to understand. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of Elohim should first have been spoken to you, the Jews, But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. So these Gentiles are amongst the Hebrews, the Jews, synagogue. Now, it's saying for them to be saved. Because up under the law of Moses, if these Gentiles wanted to keep the Passover, they would have been told they got to be what? Circumcised. But now we're not talking about the law of Moses or the law of Abraham because that concerns the land. And the Most High says, I'm talking about getting people into the kingdom, and these people are, could be outside of Israel. And so for salvation, to be saved, don't put this burden on them. Now, when they start learning under the law and they want to come close, they want to keep the Passover, then they must be circumcised. But if they don't want to come close and keep the Passover, they want to get into the kingdom of Messiah, they get them into the kingdom first. Tell them about Messiah first. Then every Sabbath, even though they don't come to synagogue anymore, even though they're not learning about the laws they're supposed to be, because you want to ease people into it. So as they learn things, they are supposed to be held accountable. Still have, I want us to go back to Acts chapter 15. And let's talk about this for a minute. But we write unto them that they abstain from the pollution of idols. We know we're only supposed to worship the Most High Elohim. You know that we're not supposed to create any images of anything else and what, bow down to it? That would make it an idol? You don't hear nothing here about keeping Sabbath in order to be saved. That's something that they have to learn about, because I want us to understand who we're dealing with. We're dealing with Gentile nations that didn't keep the Sabbath. Now, when these Jews were in the synagogue, they would have been keeping Sabbath when the Gentiles were in the synagogue. But what about Gentiles that you reach to that are not in the synagogue? They're not coming to your camp. You're out here and you are testifying to them about the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. They don't know anything about a Sabbath. They really don't know anything about the law. Show them what sin is and how them to confess what they know of. And then as they learn, because they would be sinning and they would learn that things that they're doing in what? Ignorance. I didn't know that. And when they learn it, then they are supposed to confess it. But what they have done is say, hey, we ain't up under none of that law. We're not up under that. And that's not what is being taught. The way those scriptures are read or written, if they cherry pick them and use them on their own, yeah, they might say that. But the truth of the matter is that those verses are concerning the law of Moses, not all of the law. But of the law, teach them to abstain from the pollution of idols. You worshiping Molech, you can't worship Molech no more. You're worshiping some other deity, you can't do that. Well, who am I supposed to worship? You're supposed to be worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is how he says to worship him. They have to learn. You know how you guys practice that, you know, you can just sleep around? Can't do that. If you want to be in Messiah's kingdom, he says, you got to stop doing that. From things strangled. From eating the blood of other things. Now these things must be super important to the Most High that he tells them that they got to stop these things. To be saved is not one of them. Even keeping Sabbath is not one of them. They have to learn that. And when they hear it, and then they reject it, it's not on you. Because the thing is, once we learn what the law says, then we are accountable. Now, they will say, here is the crux of the matter. The church will say that it's up under the Ten Commandments. But don't keep the fourth. Still eat animals that are strangled. Most people don't even know how their animals are killed. Could care less. And we'll go into a restaurant in a heartbeat and order a medium rare steak with blood oozing out of it in violation of just this minimal things that are required for salvation. Now, once they have done these things, then the scripture says they have the law of Moses taught to them every Sabbath. The problem is the laws of Moses stopped being taught. They would start being taught again. And that was a campaign started by the Catholic Church. Campaign to where you don't have to keep Sabbath. The campaign where you're not up under the law of Moses. Because the law of Moses deals with all those things. But this is saying specifically that they don't have to comply with circumcision. The law of Moses deals with dietary. The law of Moses deals with consumption of blood. The law of Moses deals with not eating animals that are strangled. The law of Moses deals with not fornicating. So if they were not up under the laws, then they would not be up under these laws. These are pointing back to the laws of Moses. But teach them these necessary things first. Get them into the kingdom. Then teach them the rest of the law. Let's go one more place and we'll stop for today. To the book of Ezekiel. And four, but hold on. Go to Ezekiel chapter 44. We'll start in verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 44, start in verse 1, and I won't belabor this point. Just want us to understand that when you are, you know, testifying to people, when you're trying to get them to come into the kingdom, that you understand what you tell them and what you put on them, and then what they can learn later. So Ezekiel 44 and 1, starting in 1. Then he brought me back the way of the gate. Now, this is talking about the new sanctuary, okay, the one up under Messiah when he returned, okay. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looked toward the east, and it was shut. Then Yah said unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because Yah, thy Elohim, the Elohim of Israel, has entered in by it. Therefore, it shall be shut. It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before Yah. He shall enter in by the way of the porch of that gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of Yah filled the house of Yah, and I fell upon my face. And Yah said unto me, son of man, mark well, and behold thine eyes with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of Yah, and all the laws thereof, and mark well the entering in of the house, the law concerning how to enter into the sanctuary, with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, O you house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat and the blood, that they have broken my covenant because of your abomination. And you have not kept the charge of my holy thing, but you have set strangers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. So you're a priesthood, and you don't want to do the job of the priesthood. You brought in strangers to do your job. Thus says Yah Elohim, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary. For any stranger that is among the children of Israel. Okay, so when we read the book of Ezekiel, you will learn that the Most High, the third temple, will be rebuilt. The daily sacrifices will be reiterated, but not for sin. And the priests will come in, and they will make sacrifices. And I think in the third temple, even some sin sacrifices are done. Nevertheless, the stranger that joins himself to Israel cannot be uncircumcised. This has always been the law. It still is the law. But to enter into salvation, it's not required that they be circumcised. The laws that the Most High, I'm going to say some of them he suspended, some of them are still in effect. We don't do animal sacrifices for sin. But if they want to come close, the law of the Passover, the requirements of the Passover are still in effect. They were not done away with. So if somebody wants to become part of Messiah's kingdom, they want salvation, they are a Gentile, you can't put this stuff on them. But as soon as they want to come close, then they want to keep the Passover, then they must be circumcised. Whenever they want to stop serving pagan gods and pagan holidays, then they'll understand. That's why it's important that you understand about the pagan holidays and the holidays of the Most High, and what's required, what is required of the law. Oh, you want to start keeping this because you want to, you know, you want to stop keeping Christmas? You realize that if you keep Christmas as a pagan holiday, you realize if you keep Easter as Easter as a pagan holiday, you want to keep the Feast of First Fruits, you want to keep Pentecost, you want to keep Tabernacles and Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, you want to keep these things, then the law required that you be circumcised. Oh, I don't know if I want to keep those, then you don't know if you want to come close. But you can't keep them out of the kingdom of Messiah. He's going to judge them. He's going to judge them. Okay. I think on next week I will show you the scriptures. I think it's in verse. I think it's in chapter 27, but I'm not sure, and we are short on time. But I will show you that those Gentiles that want to join themselves to Israel, they shall get an inheritance in the land, and they shall be as one born in the land. And they get an inheritance in whatever tribe they want to join to. We don't get to pick and say, oh, you're going to be tribe of Levi. You're going to be part of the tribe of Judah. You're going to be part of the tribe of Benjamin. You're going to be part of the tribe of Joseph. We don't get to do that. The Most High is whatever tribe they choose. But they still got a law saying that, hey, when the temple's back in place, there is a law for who can enter into the temple and who can eat the showbread. Even the Levites can temple. So, you know, they have to learn the law. But I want us to understand that when it comes to salvation, when it comes to entering into the kingdom of the Most High, the Gentiles are not required to be circumcised in the flesh. After they start learning what's required, when they want to come close, when they realize, hey, I can't celebrate Christmas and all these things, and I want to keep Passover, are you circumcised? No. How old are you? Well, I'm 90 years old. I'm too old to be getting circumcised. No, you're not. Abraham was 90 years old or 99. I believe he was 90 years old when he got circumcised. Come close? Yeah, I want to come close. Then you need to be circumcised. We have to understand the order of the Most High. That being said, are there any questions on what we covered tonight?
For me.
Okay, no questions from Sister Lorraine. Anyone else? All right. If there's no questions, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. Father, we thank you for your understanding in giving us understanding concerning our salvation and confession. And we must confess our sins. We must turn away from them. Father, as far as your salvation goes, for your word on this evening, if there be anyone that has not confessed their sins, if there be anyone that has not been baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ in the English, Father, put it upon their heart that they should be rebaptized in the name, that they may receive the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Father, let not my brothers and sisters put any unnecessary burden on the Gentile nation, saying that they have to be and do exactly as we do to get into your kingdom, for you have not ordered it. But as they come forth and they are taught that they would bring themselves into compliance, and as they want to come closer, that they will bring themselves in compliance with your word, And if they do not want to come close, Father, then that is on them, and it is up to you. You said you will be the judge. And we leave those things in your court. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On Thursday, we will have the business meeting. And then Sunday, this Sunday coming up, we will have a second business meeting to continue in the bylaws. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. And on this evening, I'm going to actually close with a different song just for this evening because of what we are talking about.
If there's one thing I've learned as an Israelite, we've got to keep the commandment. I was tired of being fed up, so I got the Bible and opened it up, and I saw that I was living wrong, wild out, yes I was. Now I do my best to follow these laws. Too much, and the truth out the truth back and forth too much.
Shalom, my brother. Peace and blessings.